And Rashi brings Chazal, actually in Masechet Tainis Daf Yud, that Yosef was telling the brothers, don't get caught up in deep learning in the Divrei Torah on the way back to our father Yaakov Avinu. And Rashi in Tainis says, Chisau, which means don't get lost, don't get caught up in learning, which may cause you to take the wrong road, and it's going to take you longer to get back to our father Yaakov and give him the good news that I'm still alive. However, the Kli Yakar says to sow is not talking about them getting lost and getting stuck on the road. It means to sow, don't get caught up in learning Torah and you're going to get involved in a risk of the Raisa arguing with each other and make cause chaos, make it upset, and it might cause you not to have the proper focus to be able to come to the proper maskana of what's needed for learning Torah. Now, Rabbi Leibowitz gives many types of shiurim. Besides his old afshir, he gives shiurim, halacha shiurim, perhaps, maybe we could suggest he gives a shiur if listening to old daf in the car, the dekis real tikkuz ubaderech, the iyun shiurim, the vikiya shiurim. But one thing Rabbi Leibowitz is always daitai slula, he's always calm, always ready to say a shiur. As we know, tonight is his son's wedding, and he's on his way to say a smicha shiur on Wayu. That's how we're able to get him to come here across the bridge. So thank you, Rabbi Leibowitz, mazel tov. It's our pleasure to hear a few words.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rabbi Schwed. Thank you very much, Rabbi Schwed, and thank you, Rabbi Pupka, for hosting, and Bereshus, all of the Rabbanim Chashuvim. Thank you all for coming to this beautiful celebration of Torah this morning. I wanted to share with you a phone call that I got last week from someone who learns the Daf Yomi, learns it very religiously since the beginning of Maseches Brachos, and he was having a certain struggle with Maseches Tainis. A very sweet person, a very edel person, a very respectful person, and he said that some of these Agadita Gemaras, some of these Gemaras that tell these stories, it's not just that we feel that we don't understand these stories, it's that some of them are quite troubling. I don't know, for those who've, many of us here are doing the Daf, so we may recall a story of a holy Amora who had a daughter who was quite beautiful. We're not going to go through the whole story right now, but stories that are very, very troubling. And how do we relate to stories of Agadita? So I hate to like hijack the program when we're supposed to do uplifting things. I want to talk a little bit about Agadita. Is that okay? Just to talk about a little bit about how we learn Agadita Gemara and what Agadita Gemara really is, especially since there's much more of it coming in Maseches Megillah. So we and in Chagig we have a lot of Agadita to think about. So Agadita makes up a big chunk of Shas. Rav Aaron Feldman Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, estimates that it's about a 90-10 split. 90% of Shas is Halacha, 10% Agadita. Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter Shlita estimates a 6-1 ratio. That seems a little more accurate, but whatever it is, it's mostly Halacha, Talmud Bavli, and there's a good Miura Matsui of Agadita. Halacha is certainly a much easier limud in the sense that there are precise definitions, and Agadita deals with concepts. You know, someone once described there are two types of personalities. There's what we call a word personality and an Excel personality. You know, in Excel, everything has to fit into a box. In Word, it's free-flowing. There's no limit to the amount that you can go in any direction. So Agadita is the word personality. Halacha is the Excel personality, that everything has to fit into categories and into boxes. But Agadita is also diverse. It includes stories of tzaddikim, business, health, general life advice, what to eat, when to eat, what kind of business to go into, depending on where you live. It includes theology. It includes obscure comments and stories. And Agadita and Halacha are almost a competition. They're competing forces with each other. They complement each other, but they also compete with each other. The Gemara Maseches Bava Kama Daf Samach tells us that two students were arguing whether the Rebbe should teach Halacha or Agada on a given day. And the Rebbe said, you know, I'll give you a mashal. It's like a husband who has two wives, one older and one younger, and each one wanted to give the impression that her husband was an appropriate match for her. So the older wife was plucking all of the black hair hairs out of his head so he could look like he had gray hair and he was an appropriate match for her. And the younger one was plucking all of the white hairs out of his head so that he could give the impression that he should look younger. In fact, when I was getting a haircut for my son's chasana on Tuesday, the barber said, "Oh, I see some gray. Let me pluck that." I said, "No, I'm the father of a chasana. I'm allowed to be older. It's okay. That's fine." I wasn't sure if it's a shiloh, whether a man is allowed to pluck black hairs. Can I let the white hairs? Can I let the barber do that? So anyway, but you see, the Gemara is clearly painting a picture of some sort of competition between the two, that the two are not the same. The Gemara in Sota and Daf Mem tells us that Rabbi Avo taught a Galata, and he had many more Talmidim than Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, who taught Halacha. And he comforted Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and he told him, you know, the 99-cent store has many more customers than Tiffany's. You know, there's a reason for that, but it's not because the 99-cent store is selling higher quality jewelry than Tiffany's, which gives you the impression that Halacha is more valuable than Agarita. But the Gemara says he wasn't comforted, which maybe gives you the impression that maybe it's not really more valuable, and that was just something that he was trying to comfort him with. So I want to discuss a little bit about how important it is to have respect for every single word of Chazal, and maybe to describe a little bit why it is that Chazal would speak in such an unusual way when telling us these fantastic and odd stories and many other things as well. So the reliability of Gemara is something that we cannot question. There's a beautiful sefer that just came out by the name of Tarascha Sha'ashuai, where he says that there's a Kabbalah from the brother of the Gra. He quotes a sefer Sheves Achim that quotes a Kabbalah from the brother of the Vilna Gaon. The Ravina and Rav Ashi kishagomra Talmud, that when Ravina and Rav Ashi completed the Talmud, sholchul misifta derekia sheyaskimu misham. You know, when you finish writing a sefer, one of the things you have to do is get a haskama. So you look for rabbis who maybe will write a nice letter that will say, usually I didn't read the sefer. Guy who wrote it's a nice guy, or at least seems to be. And you know, here's my letterhead so that someone flipping through can see that my name is on it. So they wanted a haskama from the misifta derekia. They wanted haskama from Shemayim. So they shazeya Torah Shebal Peh, not just haskama, but that this should be the definition of Torah Shebal Peh. They wrote the book that's going to be Torah Shebal Peh. V'chasmu al zeh dalid malachim. And four angels signed on it. Gavriel, Michael, Raphael, Uriel, Rashi Tevos, Gemara. And in fact, we refer to Talmud Bavli most often, not as Talmud Bavli, but as Gemara. The Sefer HaChaim of the brother of the Maral writes that these four malachim protect a Gemara learner. V'cheina Torah Shebal Peh hi ha-megina al Yisrael. The Torah Shebal Peh protects the Jewish people. V'lchein nikreis Gemara. Shu Rashi Tevel, Shel Gavriel, Michael, Raphael, Uriel. Lomar, to tell me, that he has Malachi Hashem, someone who learns Gemara, has Malachi Hashem surrounding them. Miemino Michael, on his right is Michael, and Mismolo Gavriel, on his left is Gavriel, Milafan of Uriel, in front of him is Uriel, and Meachor of Raphael, and behind him is Raphael, Va'al Rosh of Shechinas Kel. And above him resides the Shechina. The Munkacher Rebbe in the Sefer Divrei Torah, in Madura Kama Os Yotes, says that it's Mekubal from the Bnei Yisaschar that a person should learn Gemara before davening each morning, and through that the tefillah will be elevated. And he says, because when one learns Gemara, the malachim are around him already, Michal, Gavriel, Raphael, Uriel, and therefore they're ready to carry his tefillos up to Shemayim. The Rambam Nakdamah to the Parish of Mishnayis writes that Ukishemesu Kala Chacham Aleim Hashalom, that with the passing of Ravina and Ravashi, the Talmud was completed. Anything that happened afterwards was just to try to understand what was said earlier. We don't add to the Talmud, we don't subtract to the Talmud. We come across a disturbing story, we cannot say, oh, it's just a story, it doesn't really matter, don't let it bother you, don't let it be something that you focus on, it's probably just something silly because people were thinking in an ancient way in ancient times. No. every word of Gemara has to be taken very seriously. And if we don't understand it, we have the humility to say that, wait a second, maybe I'm not really getting the full depth of what Chazal are trying to convey. In fact, the Nodeb Yehuda in his Drashos, in the Drushei Atzlach, goes so far as to say that Kol Masha Anu Muzharim Mipi HaGemara Tzarech Lios Shava Etzleinu Kamo Dover HaKosuv BaAseres HaDibros. That if something appears in the Gemara, it's like the Aseres HaDibros to us. It should be as authoritative as the Aseres HaDibros. So the Rambam, in Hakdamah to Perek Chelek, says, how do you learn Agadita? Perek Chelek is a whole perek about Agadita. It's 20 blot in a row about of Agadita Gemara. I remember when Moreno Rav Shechter Shlita used to say a weekly shiur in Brooklyn. I didn't attend the shiur, but I would get the recordings. He used to say a weekly shiur in Brooklyn on Gemara, and they were learning Masechah Sanhedrin. So they got to Daf Tzadi, they got to Peites Tzadi, wherever Perek Chelek starts. And he said, okay, so what Masechet are we doing next? And the whole chevra that said, we put in all this time waiting for years for you to get to the Agadita Gemara, and now you're just going to jump ship and you're going to go, and what do you mean, what Masechet are we doing next? He said, well, I never heard a shiur from Rav Soloveitchik on Perek Chelek, so how can I say shiur? Which was, itself is an interesting comment. So they convinced him to say shiurim on Perek Chelek as well. So that's where you have a lot of discussion about Agadita. And the Rambam says that there are three groups of people in their approaches to Agadita. There are people who are unintelligent people, who are not sophisticated in their thinking. And they understand Agadita on the simplest level. And because they're not sophisticated, they don't see any depth. And the Rambam writes, the members of this group are ignorant, and you can only regret their ignorance. Their very effort to honor and exalt the sages using their own meager understanding actually humiliates them. Meaning what they're saying is, ooh, Chazal are so smart because Chazal are telling us, and then they'll just tell you what it says in the Pshutan Shel Devarim, in the simple reading. And he's saying, that's not an honor to the sages. Chazal weren't telling you what it sounds like it's saying in Agadita. You have to plumb the depths of Agadita. They're dishonoring the sages by saying that this is what Chazal were telling us. The Chazal are just telling us pithy sayings? That's not what Chazal were here for. So it's a disrespect of the Chachamim. And then the Rambam says there's a second group. And there are those that think Chazal were literal, but they're cynical, and they hold Chazal to be fools. I mean, the first group says Chazal were literal, and it's so wise, and if we don't understand it, we're fools, but everything that they're saying on the simplest level is so wise. The Rambam says that's wrong, but worse than that is someone who looks at what Chazal are saying, also understands it on the simplest level, and say, Chazal were a bunch of fools. How could they think like this? That's also terrible. That's even worse. They hold themselves to be philosophers, says the Rambam. They have no understanding of philosophy. The Rambam was a man who knew something about philosophy. And then the Rambam says, there's one tiny group of people, and he says, it's somewhat cynically, the group is so small, I don't know if you can call it a group. Meaning it could be that the group is a group of one, and his name is Rav Moshe ben Maimon. There are people who recognize the greatness of Chazal and understood that Chazal speak with riddles and parables, which is how truly great thinkers often express themselves. So Chazal didn't mean it on the literal level when they tell us Agadita. But in order to learn Agadita, we have to understand what exactly it is that they were trying to do. The Rambam would constantly refer to throughout his Svarim the Sefer on Agadita that he's going to write. Sadly, he never did write it, so we don't have the Rambam Sefer on Agadita. It would have been wonderful if he did, but Hashgacha had it that he didn't have the time, or maybe he decided not to, I'm not sure why. But why would Chazal hide the real meaning of the Gemara? Meaning, if we believe that they're telling us something very, very deep when they teach us Agadita, then why is it that they wouldn't just tell us what they want to tell us? So the Rambam writes, and the Ramchal writes also similarly in his Maimor on the Haggadot, that for 1,500 years the Torah Shebaal Peh was transmitted by word of mouth. And then we started to worry that people's memories weren't what they used to be. We become weaker in our ability to remember things. So they started writing it down, which works okay for halacha. Because you can write down what the halacha is. You can write down even the analysis of the halacha. It does not work as well for Agada. Because the concepts of Agada are not meant to be understood by everybody. And had only been taught to an elite few up until that point. The dilemma was that if they write it down, it will be distorted by the masses. If they don't write it down, it will be lost. The solution? To write in code and make sure that only those who are worthy of learning should be given the code, the key to decipher the code. So some Agadita is really not meant to contain esoteric wisdom, and really could have been conveyed with ordinary language. But even that Chazal sometimes hide in unusual language and write cryptically. Now, why would they do that? The really esoteric stuff, if you ever see the book The Juggler and the King, Rabbi Aaron Feldman, the Rashi Ben Yisrael, wrote an expansion, I guess, of the Vilna Gaon's commentary to very few certain Agadita Gemaras. So there are some of those Agaditas no one in their right mind would think is meant to be taken literally. There are demons juggling fire over a river or something. Like, what does that mean? We don't know what any of those things mean. But sometimes the Agadita Gemara sounds like it's saying something that's realistic. And yet, it's written somewhat cryptically. So why would that be? So there are several reasons that this would be. First of all, Chazal wanted to teach their students that wisdom is best acquired through effort. And this is such an important yesod. A person cannot possibly compare their understanding of Gemara when you just read the translation of something versus when you work through it. You know, sometimes I'm running late for the daf in preparing the daf. I try to prepare the daf in the morning before I give it, and you know, sometimes I wake up late, so I don't have enough time to prepare the daf. So I'll cheat. I'll quickly grab a masifta or an art scroll or something, and I find it takes me longer. Takes me longer because I can't focus because it's supposed to be so easy. My brain isn't on. You need your brain to be activated in order to be able to learn. That's when you're really processing information. If your brain isn't activated, then you're not really learning. A lazy student is not going to follow through on the wisdom of Agadita anyway. So Chazal said, you know what, let's make a small barrier. And therefore, only the people that are determined enough to work through that barrier are going to be able to understand the Agadita and therefore act on that Agadita. Second, there's very often an additional layer or many additional layers of meaning. Some of the interpretations are simple and straightforward enough, but Chazal were teaching us much, much more. And maybe that's why they couched these simple teachings in complicated language. Third, even with the straightforward message, Chazal sometimes are able to add, in Rav Feldman's words, overtones of meaning, which couldn't be expressed by an ordinary statement. Rabbi Feldman gives a beautiful example. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach Beis says that a person whose father owns a supply of figs should sell them as soon as the market opens up for them and not wait for his father to sell them. Business advice. You have figs and you have people who want to buy figs. Good, go sell the figs before all the people who wanted to buy figs, you know, already bought them. You know, what is it that there's a new recipe in one of the popular cookbooks that calls for figs, so all the kosher supermarkets have to stock up on figs. So you want to be the person that gets to sell them to all those people. I remember when Susie Fishbane wrote her first cookbook when I first got married. You know, I never heard of Worcestershire sauce, but it became like the biggest thing because we needed it for one of the recipes. I remember just seeing a bunch of aimless husbands going through the aisles of the supermarket. What is this stuff? Where do we get? So I remember she's a wonderful lady. One husband turned to me as we were late on a Thursday night in the aisles and he said, I hate Susie Fishbane. But so business advice, sell the figs, be the first one to sell the figs. Is that really what Chazal is telling us? The Rav explains. The father in this case is a Rebbe. The son is a Talmud. The figs are pieces of Torah. The opening of the market is when people are interested in learning. And the Gemara is saying, if you are a son, meaning you're only a student, you're not yet a Rebbe, and your father is not there, your father is not present and ready to teach, but the market is open, there are people that want to learn Torah, go and teach that Torah. Don't say, I'm not ready to teach the Torah because who am I? How can I teach? I still need a Rebbe to learn Torah from. As the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichrono Livracha used to say every year at the Kinnas Shluchim, they have this quote, if you know Aleph, go teach Aleph. If you know Beis, go teach Beis. Whatever you know, go and teach it. Don't hold back. Chazal could have just said it in those terms. They could have said, whatever you know, go teach. If you know Aleph, go teach Aleph. But why did they say that there's a fig? And why is Torah all of a sudden a fig? A fig is a mashal to Torah because there are always fresh figs on a fruit tree. There's always something new. There's always a chiddush to learn from a sugya. You go back to a piece of Gemara, you go back to a sugya, you'll always find something new and something fresh. The search for Torah is a marketplace, in the words of Chazal. A marketplace is an exchange. You want to learn Torah? You're going to have to give something up. You give up some of your personal comfort. Sometimes your sleep, sometimes it's a financial sacrifice. We give up, we're moser nefesh, in order to be able to learn Torah. A Talmud is a son, of a Rebbe is a father. All of this teaches us so much more than if Chazal would have just said, you know what, go teach some more Torah. As Rav Feldman put it, a plain statement exhorting a novice to teach his wisdom to others, even while he needs a teacher himself, could not possibly be laden with such potency of suggestion. And fourth, by using similar metaphors for simple teachings as they do for the more esoteric teachings, Chazal are familiarizing us with the system of how they express themselves. We will then be prepared to decipher more difficult teachings when we're ready for them. And finally, sometimes a simple piece of advice from Chazal is really just that. It's straightforward advice. But since they always teach Bederach Kitzara in an abbreviated fashion, as the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, they try to phrase things in a way that there are additional layers of meaning as well. So in conclusion, when it comes to learning Agadita, it is very important to have the requisite respect for Chazal. We should utilize the various Svarim on Agadita and also sensitize ourselves to their different styles, that the way the Maharsha interprets an Agadita is different than the way that a Ben Yehoyada interprets an Agadita, and that's different than the way a Vilna Gaon interprets an Agadita. But Tafyomi is fast-paced, it's quick, it's one daf after the other, and we often don't have time for the Ben Yehoyadas and for the Graz and for the and to really go into the depths. But we must never have the arrogance to assume that we know what Chazal meant, or chas v'shalom, that we are morally superior. Just as the Daf Yomi Shir doesn't lend itself to an in-depth iyun understanding of a sugya, although, if you have a little extra time each day, take advantage of that, to learn the Daf a little bit better that day. Just because you're not going to be able to do it every day, doesn't mean you can't do it any day. And it's something that we should try to become committed to. And if that's true of our learning of the halachic sections of the Gemara, that we know, when we those who studied in yeshiva recognize when we do Daf Yomi, that we're not quite doing it in the kind of depth that we know Gemara can be learned in. If that's true of halacha, it's 1,000 times more true of Agadita. But the key is we should continue to learn Torah Hashem day in and day out, grow in our knowledge, utilize the Ol Daf and all of the other beautiful kelim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to be able to understand His Torah and be able to come closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Wish everybody a wonderful day, and I apologize that I have to run out now. But Mazel Tov and Nesiyah.